Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And I thought today we would talk about a project that Lois has been working on. She is one of the investors. She and Elliot are the investors in a potential Broadway show musical called Hazel, which, as most of you remember, was a cartoon strip. Actually came out in 1943 by the series creator was Ted Key, and it appeared in the Saturday Evening Post, and then went on to become a popular TV series in the 1960s with Shirley Booth. I remember watching it. And now it's being incarnated into a musical on Broadway. And how exciting is that? I mean, I know you're a support the arts, but this is a big way of supporting the arts by actually being one of the founding investors in a Broadway musical. Tell me what that's like.
Well, it's an interesting question because it's very exciting, and at the same time, it's very challenging. But just last week, Elliot Hess, who's my husband, who really, it was his idea to invest in Hazel, and he has to get all the credit. I'm just a partner of his. We went to see Dear Edward Hansen? I forgot the name already. Dear Evan Hansen. And it's one of the most popular shows on Broadway now. And when I was watching it, I saw the true potential of Hazel, because that was a concept just like telling the story about, you know, the centerpiece of a household, a maid. This was a young man who was socially inept that got himself involved in a whole other situation, and what happened to him. And just the stories may not seem like they're parallel, but in my brain they are, because of the staging, the script, the music, the dancing. It's a show, and it was just, everybody was standing and screaming because they were just thrilled by it. It was very entertaining, and it hit everybody from all walks of lives on all different levels. Well, Hazel, the potential for that is the same thing, because here is the centerpiece of the household, a maid that basically takes care of the daddy, who is very manly and wants to be taking care of the family, but he's the rainmaker and he's got to bring in business to the family, and he's got to concentrate on his business, and he wants the support of his family to help him do his job well. Well, his wife, it was the times when women were going back to work, and the revolution or evolution of the female in the household, the wife that now wants to have the double role of being a wife and a mother plus a working woman, and she goes back and she's, in the events design architect business and the real estate business, and she's doing very well, and she's being well received. So the husband and the wife have conflicts against each other, which still exists today, but that was the time. And their young son, who is a little bit of a misfit, just like in Dear Evan Hansen, and how did they deal with them? And really, the foundation and the centerpiece and the glue that holds the family together is Hazel the maid, and how this all evolves. Well, even though it's, from the 50s and 60s, it's still very relevant today. And watching Dear Evan Hansen showed me, how the audiences today can be easily, involved in a story like this that was, happened four decades ago. And there's been several readings of this show, and it was very well received by a lot of producers from Broadway. And then the creators of the show, which Chuck Stephan, he did the lyrics for all the music. He is the one that licensed Hazel from Ted Key's son. Ted died a few years ago. So Peter Key is the holder of all the rights, and Chuck went out and licensed the rights to make a Broadway show from Peter. So Chuck Stephan, not only is he the lyricist, but I credit him for creating the whole thing. His partner, Ron Abel, did all of the music, and together they are absolutely a brilliant duo. Then they brought in Lisa Levin. She is a major TV writer for major shows like Mad About You, The Prince of Bel-Air, or whatever it was called, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm so bad on titles. And she has written for so many shows. Her husband is a brilliant TV writer, and they brought her in to write the book, the script of the show. Then they got, who is really the Sophie Tucker of the 2014, 15, 16, 17, her name is Clea Blackhurst, and she is the most powerful figure on Broadway. She's involved in off-Broadway shows, cabarets, Broadway shows. She's got the most powerful voice that you've ever heard. Everyone just stands on their feet and applauds themselves to death because she's an amazing talent. So it's wonderful to be involved in a property like this, but until you really get involved with a show, you finally learn after a lot of trial and error all the evolution of bringing a production like this to Broadway. Just the same way. Go ahead.
I was going to say, give me a sense of, you saw this thing, it's actually been staged in Chicago, so it actually had audiences, and the songs were sang, and the book was used, and the story unfolded for audiences in Chicago. But then you guys have kind of taken it back and kind of reworked it. So you've seen the story go from pre-Chicago, Chicago, and now where it is now. How has the story itself evolved? How has it changed? What's different between this Hazel now and the original Hazel when it was first, you know, pitched to you?
Well, just remember that this is just my opinion. And since I want the audiences that are listening to this podcast to realize I am no talent in Broadway, okay? I'm just a friend of the people that are putting this on. And, you know, we gave a little bit of money. So, but I have learned so much ever since we also just did a production of it at Molloy College on Long Island in Rockville Center. And from that production, having professionals and students do it, I think I almost became an expert in Broadway. That's how I feel about myself today. Because I saw the show go from what I thought, and God, when the people who I just mentioned listen to me, they're probably going to smack me down. But I thought it started off, the music and the the lyrics were fabulous. Even the book was fabulous. But it still had a very hokey flavor to it. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I just didn't feel that audiences would respond to it the way they're responding to Dear Evan Hansen. And I've watched it go through several rewrites, you know, evolve into a show that I now feel, after seeing it Molloy with amateurs and professionals, and I could hear the script and the way people presented it, because actors are vital in any production. They do the interpretation of the characters. And when I heard people without much experience deal with the experienced people, the lyrics became so clear, the words became so clear to me that I almost jumped out of my seat to scream, "Hallelujah, I see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel," because this is now amazing, amazing property. They took, you know, a germ of an idea and they transformed it into a story that now everyone in the family could relate to. Before, I thought it was a little dated, and having the actors act through it, and I've actually witnessed it, you know, without any costumes, just reading, without really any music playing, maybe just a few instruments, several times in these sets in New York City where they have little stage productions. They're like little lofts, and you go in and you have chairs for the audience, and, you know, the actors and actresses stand with their little podiums and microphones, and they read it to you. And they try to do the best to act it out, but that's really what a reading is. Then there's a lab and there's a workshop. They have different names for, like, these, you know, shows without any costumes or any, you know, backgrounds or anything. It's stripped down naked. And that's for a lot of producers that can visualize what they want, and then they could help it, you know, bring the show along. Then I saw it at Drury Lane in Chicago, where the Drury Lane production people took it over, and they put on a fabulous show with Clea Blackhurst, you know, with Ron, Chuck, and Lissa, and they put their own touch to it. They brought in an award-winning director, Joshua, I hope I have his name correctly, Borghese. He's just done a million things on Broadway that everyone knows. He is a major, major talent, and he brought it along also. Just, you know, to everybody just gave it a standing ovation. It was fabulous. But it still, you know, didn't send chills down my spine. When I saw it at Molloy College last week, under the most amateurish, you know, or less experienced, you know, spotlight, and the way it was rewritten, oh my God, we have a hit on our hands. So now we're at the stage of trying to get other producers to see it again, other sponsors, money people, and everything to see really what it could possibly be and, you know, try to bring it to fruition. There are so many times
How far away do you think it is from getting to a Broadway theater?
I'll tell you, you know, that's a hard thing to answer, but when you hear Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, you know, any major Broadway star, Tommy Toon, Nathan Lane, Matthew Broderick, when you hear them at the microphone accepting their awards, you know, at the Tonys, you always hear them say, this was a 10-year project, and you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's what it takes sometimes to bring, you know, something to fruition. And they're always mentioning one person that had more faith in it than anyone else that just would not take no for an answer, that brought it to Broadway. And bringing a show to Broadway, by the way, is not an easy thing because there's so many rules and regulations of how to deal with the actors, how long they could work on it, how they get paid, you know, how many readings they could do, how many readings there could be, how many producers could see what, when. I mean, it's like it's almost impossible to do it, and it's all actors' equity that have all these regulations, and you cannot go against any rule and regulation because lawyers will be all over you. They'll shut the whole thing down, and no theater will ever take you. Everyone must abide by Broadway rules. Even to the hiring of an ad agency, you know, a PR agency, an accounting company, everything has got to be the way Broadway wants it. You cannot get around it. There are people who think that they can. They can't. And we all learn the same lesson. So I think if they got the proper people that wrote the checks, that one particular executive producer who would take this on, it could be a year or two away from Broadway. And the only reason why it's a year or two is because it takes time for the producer to get a theater, you know, to get the right stage settings, to do the right choreography, and everything you see in a show. And whatever I just told you holds true for a movie, too. And it's so ridiculous that I have been so close to a few of projects like this, and now I think in the last week I finally got it. It's almost embarrassing. And I would blame people for mishaps and being inexperienced and not really delivering when I really didn't understand the true process of bringing a show to Broadway. And what's even more crazy is that the lyrics, the music, and the book and the lead was, you know, A-plus from the very beginning. This wasn't like, you know, we had doo-doo on our hands and we had to make,
right,
you know, we had to make from lemons to lemonade. That wasn't the case at all. This is even more mysterious because it was excellent from the beginning, but it still needed those finishing touches to make it great. And even though it's great now, it could use a few more, you know, tweaks, and an executive producer who brings stuff to Broadway knows what it takes to be on stage. And I hate to keep referring to Dear Evan Hansen, but there's a reason why that show works. It's the wording, the dancing, the timing of everything is to perfection. And when you see it, There is not a minute that you have a chance to think about, oh, my foot hurts, or I had a headache, or my nose cold. Everything is just magical in front of you. And that's what Hazel has to be, because it has all the ingredients to be the same type of show. Just the way everybody applauds Hamilton, like they feel it's a religious experience. They've just seen something go past their eyes, that they feel it, they have a whole renewed life. Well, Dear Evan Hansen, in its own way, does that at a different level, and so could Hazel. So I don't know if I answered you, but I feel like I answered myself.
Well, I tell you, I've heard about this for, I think you've been involved in it for probably 2 years.
Right.
So I see it, I've heard the updates, so I'm excited about the possibility of it getting to Broadway sooner than later. So I hope I can get a good ticket to it and enjoy it. So I'm really thrilled about it. So
I mean, the most amazing, but the most amazing thing about this show is that Clea Blackhurst is such a talent that audiences are going to be screaming, because she's 50, 51 years old. They're going to be screaming, oh, my God, where has this woman been our entire life? You just can't imagine. She's a Jennifer Holliday. She's even greater and better. People, that's why every time when I need to do something to help the show along, I keep thinking about her, because she is a force that people are just going to, they're going to like cling to her like they cling to Adele. They're going to feel that she speaks for them, that she reaches them in ways that only music could do. And she's got, I mean, she will just set the world on fire. So this show must go to Broadway for that reason alone. That's how powerful she is.
It sounds like it's the part that she's worked her whole lifetime to get. I mean, this is like, you know, she'd have to be 50 plus to do this part, and she spent all of these years in the trenches, and she's the right fit for the right part at the right time. So hopefully the world will see that and recognize it. It'll be very exciting.
It would be.
I think we've covered this. Do you want to have any more? Do you want to add?
No, there's always millions of things, but we can always come back to this topic.
Absolutely. As it goes to its next permutation, as we get closer to Broadway, we'll certainly talk about it again. So, as always, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
I have been Lying on the Beach. So
Thank
long.
Thank you.